Good morning. I will try to get you out here by 1 o'clock. So bear with me, would you please? All right. You would, turn to Amos, the 3rd chapter, verse 8. I'm going to be over in the book of Amos, so you're just going to stay over there with me a little bit. The 2nd, 3rd chapter, I'm not going to read it all. If I read it all, I wouldn't get you out here to 1 o'clock, so we're going to jump around to it. But anyway, while you're turning there, how many of you have ever heard a sermon that you thought, boy, I wish so-and-so was here to hear it? Be honest with me. Have you? Oh, yeah, I bet you have. Oh, I hope so-and-so is listening. How about that one? Oh, I'm sure you have. Well, I'm sure you get the amens. You know, if you want to get amens, if a preacher wants to get amens, just preach against somebody else's sin, and I guarantee you, you'll get all the amens. Yeah, brother, I'm back there in Ezer. You know what I'm talking about. You know something that you may not have. You know what I'm talking about. Something you may not have a problem with, but you're pretty sure somebody else has got a problem with it, right? And if I'm preaching, aren't you up there saying, boy, you go get them, preacher. You sick them, right? Amen. Well, you know what? You'll be saying amen until the church roof falls in if you hear me saying that, right? But you let that sermon hit you, and I bet it's just almost you could hear a pin drop. Amen. I just almost bet you could, because it's totally different, you know? You know, just cue the sound of crickets right now, okay? Can you hear that? If I start preaching on some of your sins, you just hear the old crickets in the background. You know how that is, because you know how that sounds, yeah? But you know what? You know what? I'll tell you something. That brings me to the scripture reading I want to talk about this morning. Amos 3:8. We'll go ahead and read that, then I'll have a word of prayer. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? I'll read that again. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Let us pray, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving again in my heart. I praise you for the opportunity that I have to stand up here, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord. Now, I pray, Father, this morning that you would get me out of the way, Lord. I pray that. I pray that the scripture, the words, the message would go out to the hearts that it needs to go out to this morning. For Father, you're the one that truly knows. You're the one that knows the need in each and every heart in here this morning, Lord. And I praise you for that. Amen and amen. I want to speak on something this morning that I want to speak on called Rebel at Heart. That's what I want to talk a little bit about to you this morning. What I want you to do is just look around. And how many rebels do you see in here this morning? I mean, really, just look around. You know, you just look around at everybody. Do you see any rebels in here this morning? You know what? That's the trouble with just looking on the outside. That's the trouble with us looking at somebody on the outward appearance. Because you know what? We can't tell what the heart is like, can we not? We can't. We cannot tell. That's the trouble with that. You're not seeing where the problem really lies sometimes. The problem lies in one's heart. That's where the problem lies so many times. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us this, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart." That's where the important. You know what? You've got your idea of what a rebel looks like. You know, you can probably, in your own mind, you probably look at that and you say, well, I know what a rebel looks like. You know, he's got long hair, he's got this, he's got that, he's got all those kinds of, you know, no. You're not looking at the right thing. You've got to look at the heart of an individual to see what it's about. You can be sitting here this morning. You can be dressed up like a Christian. Amen. Talking like a Christian, you can be acting like a Christian, playing the part of a Christian to a T, and you can still be a rebel at heart. You can be a rebel at heart. You can be that. You know what? Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We can't. I can tell you that right now. I can stand up here this morning and I can look back over all of you. And I do not know what your heart truly is about here today. Yes, the Bible says that our spirits will bear witness with one another's spirits. I understand that. But you know what? To truly know the heart of everybody in here, I cannot do that. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 17:9-10, it says, "And I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing." I want to tell you something this morning. God knows exactly where your heart lies this morning. You can fool me, you can fool everybody around you. You know what? He knows if you agree with His Word, He knows where your alliance lies this morning. God knows all this. He knows where your alliance lies. He knows if you agree with God's people. He knows that this morning. God knows it. Or He knows if you're a rebel at heart. God knows that. You can say the longest and the prettiest prayer. You can attend every church service. You can be a great worker in the church. You can hold office and give a great testimony. You could even be a preacher. And you could be a rebel at heart. You could be a rebel at heart. But you know what? But still be, you know, God knows right where your heart's at this morning. He knows where it's at. And I'll get to the point of my message here in a little bit. We that go to church with you every week may not see it. And I'll take it even one step farther. You may be living with somebody that is a rebel at heart, and maybe you do not know where in the truth, where their heart really lies. Maybe you just don't know. That could be the case. That lying under that outward appearance, lying under it, is that heart of a rebel. You know what Jesus said this about the scribes when they accused him of blasphemy? Remember this? For healing the one that was sick of palsy. And they were talking among themselves, these scribes were, in Mark 2 and 8, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? They weren't talking it out loud. They weren't saying it out to where Jesus could hear. Jesus knew wherein the trouble lied. It was in their hearts. You know what? He knows your heart. He said there's no getting out of it. You don't have to say it out loud. You know what? Jesus knows the intent and the purpose of everybody's heart that's in the sound of my voice here this morning. He knows your heart this morning. Now let's get back to Amos a little bit, what I just read here a little bit ago. Amos was sent to preach to Israel. That's who he was. But you know what? The only problem was that Amos was from Judah. That's where he was from. And he was sent from Judah. And if you know the divided kingdom, we talked a little bit on this morning, and how that the kingdom divided. And you know what? They really didn't like each other. And you talk about being sent to a bunch of rebels. You know what? Israel sure classified as a bunch of rebels at that time. From the time the kingdom split, Israel consistently and continually rebelled against God. You know what? Bad king after bad king. If you go back here and read it, it seemed like every one of their kings were bad. Every one of them. Israel was a kingdom to continue to slip into idolatry. They continued to slip into it. And God had had enough. God had had enough. And we even talked a little bit about that this morning, how that they were took into judgment. I want to tell you, and he sent his prophet Amos, the prophet from Judah. So imagine how well he was received, how well he would have been received if he had come right in with both guns blazing and preaching that they were a bunch of sinners. Just imagine how he would have been received. You know what? How would it have been if give me the hand. How many of you in here went to Ripley High School? How many of you went to Ravenswood? All right. That's what I wanted to say. Now, let me ask you this question. How would it have been whenever I come into the church, the first sermon that I preached, I said that you people that went to Ripley were a bunch of low down, no account, dirty, rotten skunks. See, I got an amen out of that one, right? And you know what? You were a bunch of no account. No, you know, just that would have won about as well over, you know, especially if I would have been from Ravenswood. I guarantee you that would have went over. That would have been just about like throwing a cat in a kennel with a bunch of dogs, would it not? I'm sure that the fur would have flied. I'm sure about that at the very least. Amen? That's just about as bad as up where my wife went to school, PHS and South. They like either just about as much. Now, you know what? Anyway, Amos started off preaching about other people's sins. And you know what? That's what I'm talking about over in the second chapter of Amos. He started preaching about each nation that surrounded Israel. This is how he did. He started with those dirty, rotten Syrians. That's what he said. He just always said, their capital was Damascus, and they were northeast of Israel, and God needs to judge Damascus. And you know what? You heard all the people in Israel saying, you know what? Amen, Brother Amos. You preach it. Amen. That's what he could. You know what? You're going to get some Syrians. That's right. Then he moved on to the Philistines. And you know what? They had been causing Israel trouble since before Goliath. And you know what? He's telling them here, he said that they're calling them, and that God is going to judge them. And the Israelites begin said, amen, preach it, Amos, go after them, they need it. You know what I told you earlier about, you know what? The person, you're thinking, oh, you know what, that person back here needs to hear this sermon, right? Well, this is what Israel was doing. And then next was Tyre, and it was on the coast of Israel. is on the northwest coast of Israel, and they were no good too. And you know what? And everybody said, right, Amos, God, you go get them. That's just exactly what they need to hear, because you know what? They have caused us nothing but trouble. They have caused us nothing but trouble. And then he goes on and said, then he goes on to talk about, he said, Brother Amos, all them are bad, and you judge them. You go right ahead and you judge them. And he ain't done yet. Then he gets to Judah, and they really like this one. You can just hear the big amens come out whenever he started talking about Judah. This is the prophet that was sent from Judah to go to Israel to talk to him. Now he's talking about his homeland, which is Judah. And he said, what it is, he said, they had Jerusalem, they had the temple. Israel's telling them this, and he said, and God is going to judge them for what they've done. Can you just not hear the thunderous amens roar out? And them saying, you know what, you know, pray, people running the aisles, and people saying, Glory, Amos, you are preaching it now, you're right, and you know what, Judah needs every bit of God's judgment upon them. They need every bit of it. Can you just not hear that? And you know what, I could hear it saying it. And you know what? Also, Amos said, and that boy Amos, you preached a good sermon, could you not hear the old Bible cover zipping up then? Could you not hear it? I could hear, oh yeah, you're, oh man. But Amos wasn't done. He said, oh no, I'm not done. I've got one more point to make. Can you not hear him say, the people of Israel saying, well, you know, he's talked to Work County, he's talked about Kanawha County, he's talked about Wood County, he's talked about every county around. He said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, who's left? Who's left? And then Judah, and then old Amos said this, you know what? He said in chapter 2, he said, verse 6, he said, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Oh yeah, Israel, God's going to judge you too. Oh boy, I'll bet there wasn't one amen in the house. I'll bet the face has got a frown on them. I bet the people stopped running. I bet the hands went down. And I'll tell you what, you talk about crickets. I bet you could have heard the crickets then, right? Because see, God was bringing judgment on them. You know what? Really, Amos, you lost me on that one. I could hear the people of Israel saying, you know what? We're fine. We're good. Yeah, when you're preaching on somebody else's sins, when you're preaching against somebody else, they need it. But we don't need it. We don't need it. You know, the names have changed. The faces have changed. You go through and look at it, but I'll tell you what, God's still the same. God is still the same today. You know, are people still the same today, preacher? Are they not? Yes, they are. Can you say amen to that? They are. Because you know why? It's good if I'm preaching against somebody else. It's good if I'm doing it. Right, those dirty, rotten sinners, they need preached at. But you know what sometimes, folks? I believe also we need to be reminded just exactly where we stand sometimes. Amen? You know, you step on their toes and it's a different story. Just like with Israel, you can hear a pinner, preacher, you're judging me. You're judging me. Thou shalt not judge. Can you not hear that today? I hear it all the time. Don't be preaching about my sins. You're judging me, preacher. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. The Word of God is the one that judges you. It isn't the preachers that are standing behind the pulpit. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit coming down to judge one another, to judge us. It's not us. If I preach the Word of God to you today, and the Word of God comes from this Word right here, this Bible, and I'm preaching it to you in spirit and in truth, I want to tell you, it's either oh my or amen, right? We need to get ourselves right with this. Not only does God remain the same, man's response to Him remains the same sometimes. God displays amazing long-suffering towards us. You agree with that? He displays that towards us. Because God is amazing in His long suffering to all of them. They were rebels at heart, and they rebelled against God. Israel did it. And you know what I'm sorry to say? Unfortunately today, it happens way too much in this world we live in today. God had warned them and warned them, but they would not heed. But because of the rebellious heart, God brought them judgment upon them, and we know He did. They were carried away into captivity. Amos told them what was going to happen. Like in Amos 3:8, like the scripture I read you, the lion has roared. And you know, who will not fear the Lord? God has spoken. Who can the prophet? Listen to me. God is roaring. The lion is roaring today. The Word of God is going out today. And people are not listening to what God has to say. They try to make it out in so many different things. You know what? And He has prophesied to us. He's telling us that He is coming back. I'm telling you what, He is coming back again one of these days. He's coming back for a people that have been washed in the blood, that have accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's coming back for them again one of these days. Either as a group, or he may take you out of here individually. I don't know. It is those who have a rebellious spirit about them who will fail to listen. When God's Word talks about the unborn being innocent and precious, it's the rebellious at heart who will say, well, I'll do as I please, it is my body. Amen? When God says that sex is wrong outside of marriage, whenever he says that, and the rebel at heart will say, well, what's wrong with that? We're not hurting nobody. When God tells us that adultery is wrong, he said it's a rebellious heart will say, my spouse doesn't treat me right, so it's okay. Or when God's Word tells us homosexuality is wrong, the rebellious heart will say, well, we can't help it. They were born that way. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible says. Amen or oh my, I can hear the crickets here right now. Or when the Lord's Word tells us that he hates a liar, the rebellious heart say, well, it's just a little white lie. That's okay. It ain't going to hurt anything. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? It's those that who will rebel in heart. It's those who do that, who whenever God's Word is preached, whenever God's Word is brought out, then in their own heart, they try to make it right in their own ways and in their own mind. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to work. We all stand before a just God one of these days. We do. It doesn't hurt a thing, right? You see, there are those who like the rebellious image. They like it. They like to go against the grain. They like to do that. As Christians, there are times that can work for our advantage. Yes, it can. There are times we need to rebel. You know, we need to be rebels at heart and stand up on God's Word and tell the world, listen, yes, I'm not going down that way. I'm not doing it that way because this is the way God wants me to do it. This is what God's Word wants me to do. Yes, then we need to be a rebellious at heart. But when it comes out and we stand against God's Word, it's a sin. Can I say amen to that? Amen? Amen. It is. The thing about God's judgment is he doesn't have to convict us like a courtroom. He doesn't have to do that. You know what? He extends his grace. All we have to do is respond to it. But if we do not respond to the grace, listen to me. He said, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die, his only Son, to die, that you and I can have salvation. How much plainer and how much simpler can it be? You know what? Whenever the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and the Spirit of God convicts your heart, and you know what? You step out of that seat, wherever you're at, or wherever it may be, and you come up here and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe you me, the Spirit of God will come rushing into your heart. There'll be no doubt that you are saved. You'll know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Don't listen to this out here that you got to do it this way and it has to be that way. Listen to me. Listen to me. If Jesus Christ, if the Spirit of God is dealing with you today. I heard a preacher say this morning. I like this. He said, heaven's hounds are on your trail. He said, and they've got you treed. And the Holy Spirit is going to shoot you out of the tree. Amen. Amen. We are convicted. God judges sin. His judgment is full and his judgment is final. He pours out his wrath on sin. God's grace has provided a way of escape, and that way is through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something this morning. Put away the rebellious spirit that is in your heart this morning. Put it away. I don't know. God impressed this upon me so much down through the week about this sermon. I don't know why, but it's preached here for a reason this morning. He doesn't want a rebellious heart. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that in your life today. You know what? You don't have to be that way. We don't have to be that way. Come and give it all to him. Give every bit of our essence to him. And I'll tell you something this morning. When we do that, our lives, there won't be that conflict. There won't be that muck and mire in our lives. Whenever Jesus Christ is in here to take control, amen? Amen. Don't be like Israel and reject it. Don't do that. We see it ended bad for Israel. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you continue to reject God's grace and his mercy, it's going to end bad for you too. It will end bad for you. You say, well, my life's been great up to this point in time. Hey, your life may be great as long as you're on this earth, as far as you're concerned. But the moment you do die, you stand before a just and a righteous God. You stand before him. You don't answer to me, you answer to him and what he has there for you. If they come and get a song, I'm done.